A draft report from House Democrats concludes that the president abused his office. U.S. stocks fall on signs that the trade dispute with China could drag on. Sprint has problems tallying active users of its federally subsidized Lifeline program.
I would say that this is perhaps a reminder of the burden of making sure that you are measuring usage accurately because you are collecting a government subsidy in the process.
And a garage sale on the radio. It's Tuesday, December 3rd. This is the PM edition of What's News from The Wall Street Journal. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli in New York. A draft report released by the House Intelligence Committee on Tuesday concludes that President Trump abused his office for personal and political gain by pressuring Ukraine to announce investigations into a political rival, Democrat Joe Biden, and into an allegation that Ukraine interfered in the 2016 election. The report found the president made a White House visit and military aid to Ukraine contingent on those probes. The president has denied any wrongdoing or quid pro quo related to the investigations. The draft report was released several hours before the Intelligence Committee is set to vote on its approval and ahead of a Judiciary Committee hearing scheduled for tomorrow. The White House has declined to participate. We have the report up on our website, WSJ.com. U.S. stocks fell on Tuesday after President Trump said he had, quote, no deadline on reaching a trade agreement with China. In comments during a NATO meeting in London, Trump suggested that the trade war with China could drag on past the 2020 election. The U.S. and China have been working toward a Phase One trade deal, but the administration's plans to impose tariffs on smartphones, toys, and other products from China, set for December 15th, is drawing closer. The Dow fell more than 400 points in early trading and had recouped some of those losses by the close. The index ended the day down 280 points at 27,503. The Nasdaq fell 0.6% and the S&P 500 fell 0.7%. California Senator Kamala Harris is dropping out of the presidential race. In an email to supporters that was also posted online, Harris said she, quote, simply doesn't have the financial resources we need to continue. Harris was a top contender for the Democratic nomination early on, drawing 20,000 people to her campaign launch. She was one of only seven candidates to qualify for the party's December debate, but she said she didn't have the money to keep the campaign going. Federal Election Commission reports show the campaign burned through millions of dollars, more than it raised in the three-month period that ended on September 30th. U.S. students are struggling to make gains against their international peers on an exam taken by 15-year-olds around the world. The PISA exam was developed by the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, a group of 37 countries, including the U.S., to compare math, reading, and science competency. It's considered an important measure of a country's future economic competitiveness. But U.S. students are not the only ones who have seen little improvement over the past decade. Our Paul Hannon explains.
The thing they highlight in this study is the fact that back in 2000, you know, kids were getting their information from a limited number of sources, from textbooks. And that was the truth. And there weren't too many other versions of the truth available. Now, of course, we know that there are many, many different versions of how the world works, and some of them are true and some of them aren't. And kids are struggling, I think, in the OECD's view, to distinguish between what's opinion and what's fact.
The exam found just 13.5% of U.S. students were good at distinguishing between fact and opinion on the reading exam. The average for OECD countries is around 10%. Overall, China had the highest scores in all three subjects measured by the PISA exam. Sprint is the nation's number four wireless carrier by subscribers. But according to regulatory documents reviewed by the Wall Street Journal, the company has for years overestimated the number of active customers using its Lifeline phone service, a federally subsidized program. Sprint is now facing a potential settlement with the Federal Communications Commission. The regulator said in September that Sprint improperly collected tens of millions of dollars in federal subsidies for 885,000 customers who weren't using the service as part of Lifeline. Joining me now with more on this Wall Street Journal exclusive is reporter Sarah Krause. So let's start by talking about the Lifeline program. This is a federal program that was created back in the 1980s for low-income users, and the idea was to give them access to emergency services. Tell us how it worked then.
Sure. So what this program is meant to do is almost like the SNAP food benefits, is to provide lower-income Americans with some sort of cell phone service that allows them to either reach 911 or stay in contact with family or a potential employer at a discounted rate. And so carriers receive a government subsidy for providing this service, and customers either get free service or it at a discount. It depends on their income requirements that are met.
And you found that throughout the program's history, it's already been revamped several times.
Yes, this is a fairly contentious program that the FCC under different administrations has debated what to do about it, how to overhaul it, how to make sure that there is less fraud or abuse in it. It's a program, you know, that has struggled with troubles verifying customers. Initially, customers would self-verify. One change, you know, maybe put that onus on carriers. It's been subject to abuses from aggressive sales tactics and sales incentives that, you know, weren't within the spirit of the program. So this is a program that has been revamped several times in the past.
So let's talk about your recent reporting, and this was a Wall Street Journal exclusive, that Sprint overcounted the active users in this program. What did Sprint tell you, and what did you hear from the FCC?
Sprint currently faces a potential regulatory settlement with the FCC for collecting tens of millions of dollars in subsidies for about 885,000 lines that were improperly counted. What I discovered was that the problem actually dates back further than that. So there were sort of two issues of not properly counting usage. The one that the FCC has disclosed has to do with Sprint counting incoming calls that went to voicemails as outgoing calls, which kept lines that were supposed to be dormant active. What I discovered was back in 2013 and 2014, there was another usage counting issue in which incoming text messages kept a line active improperly. And so that the company was never fined for. They shed some subscribers in Oregon, but told Oregon officials at the time, according to documents that I saw, that it was a more widespread problem than just that state. And so the Oregon Public Utility Commission, which discovered both the 2013-2014 problem as well as the most recent issue, found that in one case, for example, a woman who had died months earlier, her line was still counted as active, even though she obviously was not using the device. And that was because incoming text messages were counted as usage.
So what are the implications for Sprint?
It's unclear what happens next. So the FCC is currently investigating the issue that they had already identified in terms of, you know, the voicemail issue. And Sprint said that the most recent issue was caused by an inadvertent coding issue in 2017. So there were Lifeline rule changes in 2016. Carriers who provide the service then sort of adjusted their filters and IT systems to react to those changes. And Sprint has said it was a coding issue at the time that caused the most recent problem. There was also, you know, in response to Oregon officials in the document that I saw back in 2013 and 2014, Sprint said, you know, this is also a filtering issue. We thought that the definition of keeping a line active might evolve to include text messages, and we, you know, accidentally put that into motion now and didn't realize it until Oregon brought it to their attention. And the thing I wanted to mention is what we're talking about when we talk about line usage is the Lifeline program has a requirement that the customers that are receiving the service actually use it. They don't want to keep a line open, and the carrier shouldn't receive a subsidy if the consumer is not using it. So there's various standards for what counts as usage. A lot of that has to do with outgoing calls and data usage, something that suggests that the consumer is actively using their device.
So are there implications for other wireless carriers that use the Lifeline program and receive federal subsidies?
I would say that this is perhaps a reminder of the burden of making sure that you are measuring usage accurately, because you are collecting a government subsidy in the process.
Wall Street Journal reporter Sarah Krause joining me in our studio in New York. Thank you so much, Sarah.
Thank you.
Garage sales, stoop sales, flea markets. These are the usual go-tos for special finds or to get rid of all that stuff cluttering up your home. But in Northern California, the place to go, or actually to listen to, is Trading Time. It's a radio program that's been running for more than 20 years on Mendocino County's KZYX. It encourages locals to buy, sell, or trade almost anything. And they mean it.
All right, we have someone in need of a scrap piece of plastic, deer-proof netting to protect a pot of kale from the snacking deer. Sounds like that bird netting or they call it deer netting too.
Yeah, they do.
Okay, so if you got something to help save the kale.
They do love kale. They'll eat the whole thing.
Yeah, almost as much as roses. They're like M&Ms.
That's Trading Time co-hosts Doug Reed and Renee Wilson with one of the many requests they receive from listeners. What's the weirdest thing you've ever tried to sell? Let us know by tweeting us at WSJ Podcasts. And that's what's news for this Tuesday afternoon. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.